So I've been given a very difficult task. to honor a Vaishnava, very, very difficult task. Especially as they say, you need to be one to know one. anyhow, perhaps by all of your mercy and blessings and those of the Lord, I may be able to say something appropriate. I'm not as innocent as I look. And I remember the first time I met Maharaj, that was in Vrindavan, I think. He just took sannyas not too long before that, and sounds really nasty, but I didn't want to test him. I just wanted to see who this person was, and just becoming close to someone and asking a question, you get to know a lot. So don't talk to me. Just kidding. It wasn't a psychological experiment or anything, but I was really curious to know this devotee, and so I approached him. This was Vrindavan Dham, a whole lot of pilgrims from all over the world, and I was super pleasantly surprised how smooth this person was. I mean, he's of the age of my parents. I think my parents are just a couple of years older than him, so it's roughly the age of my parents. 53. My parents were born in 1951, so 2 years apart. And much senior Vaishnava, sannyasi at the time. And I was just a brahmachari from somewhere on this globe. And he took and asked him just like, you know, a first question that came to my mind, so I didn't have much time to come up with a good question. So the question was just, I guess you could call it stupid. But he took the time to answer it, and I felt honored by the simple act. That was my first experience of Maharaj, and then over the years I had the great opportunity to meet him many times at different places, and as one devotee, and you might have all noticed that the internet is flooded. with eulogies of different Vaishnavas of Maharaj. And one thing I noticed that lots of devotees had in common in their experiences, and similar experience to mine, which was you meet Maharaj a lot, but he was always chanting. I'd be always leading the kirtan or giving a lecture. So there was not too many opportunities to talk to him. Like, met him so many times, but spoke with him just a few times. whereas one Mataji noticed, she spoke of Maharaj, and she spoke of him when she met him here in Ljubljana. And that was, I forget what the occasion was, one of the festivals, and I think Maharaj was also giving initiations. And so he led the Mangal Arati, he sang all of the all of the RT songs, and I gave the lecture, and then took the devotees out on Harinam, and then they came back, and there was the initiation ceremony which he was giving. Then he gave another lecture, and then there was whatever was in the afternoon, I forgot. And like then, and there was the evening kirtan and the evening lectures. Like, this person's got so much energy. And whoever remembers Marsha's kirtans, they were like that. They were like really... I always felt sorry for those who played Mridanga for Maharaj. Like it was from 0 to 100 in 2 seconds. And then it stays 100 for hours. I don't know if you noticed this, but when an expert does something, it seems so effortless. I remember we were building, renovating something at our temple. I was the temple president. And I thought, why should we pay a person to do the floor tiles for us? I'll do it. I'll look it up on the internet. And then I'll do it. You know, what could go wrong, right? Even it looked very simple when you see those who know how to do it. It looks very simple, like, you know, everything falls in place just right. But once I started to do that, it's like everything went wrong. Like whatever could go wrong, it went wrong. And so we could say that also for Krishna consciousness. When an expert does it, smooth. You try, so many issues. Like that with Maharaj. Like when you reflect on his life, seems like very simple, he just ran around the world. And you chant Hare Krishna all the time. And when you don't chant Hare Krishna, you tell other people about what is this chanting about. Right? Very simple. Do it. So many issues. Many of my friends are Maharaja's disciples. And I remember one disciple, I don't know what was he expecting, but I don't know, sometimes people want the guru to fly on a broomstick or something, you know, to have a magic carpet, you know, do some kind of unnatural or supernatural wonders. Snap your fingers and there's, I don't know, a building or something like that. Nothing too mystical, really nothing too mystical about Krishna consciousness, or we could say nothing too mystical about Maharaja's life. Like, when you look at it, very, very simple. But that is the challenge. Life gets complicated like in no time. And people get complicated. Huge mess in the head. Like in that movie, Life of Brian. The thing that just came to my mind. Get lost! Brian is telling the mantra. Sir, how should we get lost? You are so complicated. Dude, just get lost. Leave me alone. How should we leave you alone? That's how people are complicated. My guru says, do something. How should I do something? Then in however many details the guru may go, the disciple again goes, how should I go about that detail? And it's endless, very complicated. But Maharaja's life, at least to me was, I don't want to say he had no experience of trouble, right? That's life in this world is a challenge. But the way he dealt with it, the way he was engaged in Krishna consciousness was very, very smooth. Very smooth. I mean, you really have to be, it's not a curse word, so I can say it. You really have to be a jerk to pick up an issue with it. Like, you really have to, be a serious fault finder to get into an issue with Mark. Very tolerant. Deeply absorbed in that which deserves the absorption, the attention from us. Very flexible. As I was reading some letters that Prabhupada wrote about Jayananda, then just yesterday, then one thing he wrote about Jayananda reminded me of Maharaj, but it reminds us really of every Vaishnava. Where Prabhupada compares Jayananda to a swan. Why swan? Because swan likes to die where the lotuses are, lotus flowers, and play in the stems of lotus flowers, unlike a fly. Flies go somewhere else. Very sweet of Prabhupada. To say that about his disciple, Krishna Jayananda. And that reminded me very much of Maharaj. One more thing I noticed, every time a Vaishnava passes away, when you look at the life of that Vaishnava, it's very encouraging. It really gives you a boost of enthusiasm, clarity of thought. Why? Because you see the life of the person, you see the perhaps struggles, challenges that the person went through, but then at the end you see the end result, and the end result is glorious. And I remember I had this experience when I watched a movie about some saint, doesn't matter, and then the saint went through all kinds of challenges throughout his life, but then at the end the saint was victorious. He did it all right. He returned to his Lord and so on. And so I felt, yeah, I should also live like that. But then what happens is, when you forget all of that, and now you find yourself in those challenging situations, you don't have that perspective that at the end everything is going to be right. And then the challenging situation becomes really challenging. We can all go through a tunnel when we see the end of the tunnel. But when you find yourself in a situation, you often do not see the end of the tunnel. But those with great faith in Krishna consciousness are the people who are confident, and they go through these challenges and make it to the other end of the tunnel. They come out of the tunnel. And at least for me, when I look at the life of a Vaishnava, such as Kadambakanand Swami, right now when I look at his life, for God's sake, it's super clear. Like, picture is simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But then, how should we chant Hare Krishna? How should we be happy? Things get complicated. And then every challenge becomes, you seem like, where's the end of this? So anyhow, life is a challenge. And the life will present challenges like that. And our Shraddha, our faith, our realizations, our experience of Krishna consciousness will pull us through, or the lack of it won't. Like that. And I'm not saying this to try to inspire any one of you. That's currently not my goal. My goal is to say something, the glorification of a great devotee. So that difference can be seen. I also read, and I'll skip that. I also read, I don't know why it came to me, but I went to read the chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes the passing away of Haridas Thakur. Has any one of you read this chapter? Ever? A few. Okay, yeah. I mean, as I was reading this chapter, like, there's so many parallels. Like, for example, the chapter begins with the author of the book, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, remembering all of the Vaishnavas. And then I remember, first when I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, when I would skip this. Like, you know, it's just a list of names. It's like, for God's sake. It's not a list of names. I mean, it is technically, but it's way more than a list of names. This is a Vaishnava, remembering other Vaishnavas. And so, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami remembers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, and then he remembers all of the Vaishnavas, one by one. And then he's remembering different activities of these Vaishnavas. These are supreme methods of meditation. Sometimes I really get tired of these invitations to yoga studios. Can you tell us something about meditation? God's sake, what you think is meditation is freaking boring!
If you just knew. You just knew what Vaishnava meditation is. But if you're not one, you just, it's just a list of names. Can we get to the action? Skip the parts. And then he describes Srila Haridas Thakur, another Vaishnava, very exceptional Vaishnava, and specifically describes how Govinda Das, just the mention of Govinda is another object, another trigger for meditation. The personal servant, the assistant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who went to take prasad, and those of you know that's like a great mercy of Mahaprabhu. Send Mahaprasadam to Srila Haridas Thakur. And one day Govinda came to Haridas, and Haridas was laying on the floor, chanting his rounds slowly. Those of you who have read the book, Srila Haridas Thakur used to chant a lot. I don't know how many rounds, over 100 every day, something like that. Some devotees do this math. I never remember the exact number. 122 rounds of Hare Krishna. 192 rounds a day. Quite a few rounds. I only a few times chanted 64 and took me all day. And he was laying on the floor, slowly chanting, and Govinda Das asked him, "Oh Haridas, rise up, take your Mahaprasada." And Haridas said, "But I have not finished my rounds. How can I take prasadam?" But because it is prasadam, and because prasadam, Mahaprasadam, is no different from Krishna, I have to take it, but I cannot take it because I didn't finish my rounds. So Haridas decided to offer pranams, obeisances to the prasadam, and continue chanting. Then the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came. And he asked Haridas, "What's the matter?" I'll skip the a lot of details in that chapter, in their conversation. But basically Haridas said that his time has come and that he would like to leave the swords in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Looking at the face of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, holding on to his feet and chanting his name, "I want to leave this world like this." Every time I see this, I'm reminded of the hospice in San Diego. Anyone of you been to the hospice in San Diego? I hope you will not. Do you know what hospice is? Not hospital. Where's the translator? I would say hospice. Ah. That's a one-way ticket. You go in, not to come out. It's a hospice. People go there to die. And devotees, when Giriraj Swami wanted to open a hospice for devotees in Vrindavan, so they could, so other devotees can assist them in their final journey, two devotees, husband and wife, they were in San Diego. I was the temple president there, so I got to know closely these two devotees. They went to this hospice for education, and they were so good at their job that they would study the person. They would know the cultural background from which the person is coming. So they knew what is most likely the person's attitude towards death and dying. And if it's a typical American, even considering that the person has come to the hospice to die, the staff is instructed never to remind them of death and dying. Such a denial. Like the most extreme thing I have probably ever heard. I mean, they pay good money to go there to die, so that no one reminds them. But in Krishna consciousness, we're told, and this is our concept, that death is not death, that life is meant to die. And life, very specifically, is meant to die right. But in order to die right, you need to spend the life living right. Bala Yogena, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, by the practice, by the strength of practice. So by living right the whole life, the person becomes qualified to pass the final exam, which is the death. And those who pass the test with flying colors, are obviously very good Vaishnavas. And so all kinds of things we learn from a devotee, and then ultimately we learn from a devotee also how to die. I mean, now I'm reminded of one devotee who I happened to meet in the streets of a city in which I stopped just to get some water. I was passing through and I ran into a devotee who I didn't see for like 25 years. And last time I met that devotee, he was yelling at a woman. We were together selling books in the parking lot in Riga. You are suffering! And she was shouting back, I am not! You are suffering and you need to buy this book. You are suffering and you're going to die! Woo! She became mad. Who are you to tell me I'm going to die? Well, anyone can tell you that. Like, you don't need to know future. But the way she, of course, this devotee was like really insensitive. Really insensitive. But nevertheless, her reaction was priceless. So, for as long as I'm alive, I have material for Bhagavatam classes. People don't want to hear about it, but it's there. That's the concept, that we live in order to die right. And Vaishnavas show us how to die right, and they die right because they lived right. And when we look back at their lives, seems like very easy. They went through all the challenges and difficulties, passed all of the exams with flying colors. That's because they're really good at it. That's their glory. Now, if I may, let me see. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Haridas Thakur eventually passed away in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when everything was over, then Mahaprabhu turned towards his devotees and said a few things which are, I think, very appropriate. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this benediction. Anyone who has seen the festival of Sri Haridas Thakur's passing away, anyone who has chanted and danced here, anyone who has offered sand on the body of Haridas Thakur, and anyone who has joined this festival to partake of the prasadam will achieve the favor of Krishna very soon. There is such wonderful power in seeing Haridas Thakur. Being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Being independent in his desire, he has now broken that association. This is Mahaprabhu feeling sorry for not having the company of Haridas Thakur anymore. And then he continued. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel. Am I too fast? Should I slow down a bit? Sorry, I forgot. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, this world now is bereft of its valuable jewel. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told everyone, "Say all glories to Haridas Thakur and chant the holy name of Hari." Saying this, he personally began to dance. Everyone began to chant all glories to Haridas Thakur, who revealed the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Also very appropriate for today. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the devotees, and he himself, with mixed feelings of happiness and distress, took rest. Hare Krishna. So, we have 3.5 minutes. If anyone would have a question or a comment to share with the esteemed audience today, feel free. Yes, we have a hand here.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, you mentioned that the great Vaishnavas go to the Janaji very smoothly because they are really good at it. So I would just like to ask, what are some most effective measures in order that we could also become at least a little bit better in our service? So what are some most efficient measure in order to achieve that?
Muchas gracias for that question. give us an opportunity to expand. Get out of the comfort zone. Take a challenge. Not too much so you don't break your neck. But, you know, decent amount. Not too little, not too much. And when it comes to anything, your study of Vaishnavism, your chanting, your participation in the mission, your service to the deity, to the Vaishnavas, by throwing yourself out there, coming out of that comfort zone, you gain new experiences. And these experiences actually enrich our Sharada or our faith. And it is by that, by the wealth of that experience that we sail through apparent difficulties.
For this lecture, what was the question to ask about his goals and what kind of story?
You mean the stupid question? No way. You know, I've been around for a while. I'm not that naive. I'll tell you in person afterwards. If we sign a contract, you won't tell anybody else. Not even tell everybody else by telling them not to tell anybody else. Okay, time's up. Quickly, run.